Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside via Hospedia, your bedside entertainment system. The theme of our programme today is to do with being followers of Jesus. I remember as a child visiting a place called Kent's Cavern, an underground cave near Torquay in Devon, where people of the Stone Age were supposed to have lived many years ago. A guide showed us around the vast cave with all its tunnels, and we marvelled at the stalactites and stalagmites, one of which looked like a monk playing the organ. The guide warned us to be very careful where we were walking, because there were lots of sheer drops all around us, and to demonstrate this he tossed a stone some way off, and we saw it go over the edge of the path, and we heard it go plop a long way down. Then he told us that he was going to turn off the lights just to demonstrate how dark the interior of the cave could be. I still recall the feeling of sheer terror when he flicked that light switch off. I'd never experienced anything like it before. It was the first time as a child that I'd felt afraid. I couldn't even compare nighttime with it, as the moon and stars or the odd street lamps will always light our way. But my dad reached out to me and got hold of my hand, and I wasn't afraid anymore. And after a short while, to our relief, the guide switched the light back on again. This reminds me of the Old Testament reading by Isaiah, which is quoted in the first part of today's Gospel reading, about a light in the darkness, which I'll read to you after our opening hymn, which is Longing for Light, sung here by the Notre Dame Choir. So here is that reading from Matthew 4, 12 to 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned." And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." One of the verses of our next song reminds us that Jesus spoke of being this world's light, a light which lights up our souls and fills us with confidence. It's Joanne Hogg singing, "I heard the voice of Jesus say."
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come on to me and rest. Lay down thy weary
Been to Capernaum before, a few years ago, and I was amazed when our guide made no mention of the fact that this was where Jesus began his earthly mission. In Jesus' time, Capernaum was a Jewish town, surrounded by people of other races and religions. It lay at the crossroads of sea and land routes. But this was the place that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, where one day a great light would shine. The people there had suffered greatly at the hands of the Assyrians, but Isaiah brought them a message of hope. So it was here to this place that Jesus came from Nazareth, preaching his message when John the Baptist was arrested by Herod's men. There was no danger here. Here Jesus continued John's message of repentance, but his message was a lot gentler than John's, for he spoke about God's rule of mercy and love and goodness. And with great compassion, he began to heal the sick.
Father God, you look on me, yet see no sin or shame. You see your Son who died for all to take away my blame. He left his Father's glorious throne, all radiant set aside.
That was a hymn from New Scottish Hymns called Let Your Light Shine. Now let's hear the second part of our reading today. I'm reading once again from Matthew 4, this time from verse 18. Jesus now calls his disciples to him along the shores of Galilee. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. So what kind of disciples was Jesus looking for? And why did he begin his search here, on the shores of the lake, and not in the temple or the local synagogues or centres of learning? Perhaps he was after people who were not set in their ways, resilient and strong, who weren't afraid of a hard day's work, people who would perhaps make good witnesses, and who would be honest, down to earth, and willing to follow and allow their minds to be challenged. Which of these qualities do you think are the real essentials of Christian discipleship? Some of them, or all of them? David Watson, a well-known priest and preacher, had this to say: "If we were willing to learn the meaning of real discipleship and actually become disciples, the church in the West would be transformed, and the resultant impact on society would be staggering." Let's listen to a beautiful song sung here by Michael Smith, and it's called "Here I Am to Worship."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loved. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth.
Someone once said, a true Christian has a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ lives, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. Can we possibly give ourselves to this end? Many have done so, and in so many places throughout our world today, their witness has sadly cost them their lives. Let's remember them all today as we listen to this next song, sung by Marissa, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning
cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Mark Link once described three different kinds of disciples: tugboats, sailboats, and rafts. The tugboats follow Jesus in all kinds of weather, even when the stormy winds and waves are against them. They serve Jesus day in, day out. The sailboats follow only when the weather is perfect and the winds and the waves serve them. When stormy weather comes, they tend to go in the direction they're blown. They follow the crowd more than they follow Jesus. The raft disciples are not really followers at all. They won't even follow Jesus when the winds and the waves do serve them. They go in his direction only when pulled or pushed. They act like Christians because they have to, or because it's their advantage to do so. A man called Albert Schweitzer once said that those who follow and obey Jesus, whether they be wise or simple, to them Jesus will reveal himself in their toils, their conflicts, their sufferings, which they shall pass through in his fellowship, and they shall learn in their own experience exactly who he is. Finally, we might also ask what the disciples were looking for in their leader as they decided to follow. To them, Jesus was the answer to all their hopes, all their questions. The prophet Isaiah had promised them a king from David's line who would save the people and lead them to freedom and become their saviour, their master, their ruler even. The disciples were drawn to Jesus like a moth to a flame. They believed in him, and the speed at which they made up their minds to follow him tell us something of the calibre of the man himself and his deeds. We'll hear more over the next few weeks about this incredible saviour. Before our final hymn today, which is Bless the Lord, O My Soul, by Matt Redman, may I close with this famous prayer by St. Richard of Chichester. Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pains and insults thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, day by day. Amen. So let's finish with that hymn, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, by Matt Redman. Bye for now.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Worship your holy name. Bless you, strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh sorrow, worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.